Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Super J Cast. Yes. I'm Joel, joined by this guy over here, David McDonald. That's Friday, the 21st of February, 2025. This is episode 350.
Wow.
David, you're 350.
Okay.
Country's
yes.
hockey team
yes.
are not as good as the hockey team from Canada. And that should be a source of shame to you.
Well, I don't know if it's shame, because it is kind of a sport. Let's be very clear about that. I would say the vast majority of NHL players are Canadian descent. But when you take the best of the best, yeah, we had a little fun in the middle of a season where usually it's just boringness and nothingness. We had some really fun fucking hockey, amplified by political distress. So it was fucking cool. And these guys are then now going to go back to their teams and resume the season as if this never happened. But it was a nice little pocket of fun. Of course, Joel, the game goes into overtime. And I got like fucking toothpicks in my eyelids to keep them open. I'm dead tired. I got to work in the morning. I didn't get to bed till the old midnight 30. It was tough. It was tough getting up this morning. I'm not going to lie. But it was fun. I texted you. I was like, listen, I don't know what you got going on in your life right now, and you should be asleep. But there is a pretty fucking important hockey game. Probably the most important hockey game in the past 20 years. It was fun. They did it. I think the NHL, and I can't believe I'm saying this, they did a great, great job with this. And people were pumped. People were into it. It was fun. It was very fun.
I saw our friend John Carroll on Twitter celebrating the fact that the US lost. Is this something? Oh. Is that just because John hates the United States of America?
Yes, everything.
Probably. It's probably that. But I was just curious about what the stakes are. Like, is this something that a lot of Yankoid imbeciles are like, oh, come on, we got to win this one. And then you lost and you're like, oh my God, I won't be able to face my Canadian co-workers and friends for the next year or however often this game takes place.
Not really. I mean, it's more of my favorite player plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Canada, but he is an American. He was born in California. I think he lived in Arizona. So maybe some of his favorite players were Canadian, and he's going that route. I don't think it's there are plenty of people who don't even watch the sport, who don't give a shit about it, that watched it just because they saw, three fights in the first 15 seconds of the first game. And that was just a fucking thing, you know? It was, But there were plenty of people who just wanted to wave a flag and kind of got and jumped on board on this, because it did take off here. Like, it was legitimately, people were talking about it, which is the first time I can remember in a long time. But people were actually talking about it. People that have never talked to me about hockey before in their lives, bringing up hockey. So to answer your question, John might be rooting for a particular player that he likes. Just went from there. My favorite player happened to be in the country that I live. So, but here's the thing, like, even when US lost, even though I was kind of rooting for them, it didn't break my heart. It wasn't like, you know, the Leafs losing or anything like that. It was like, shit, that would have been nice to win, but all right. You know, this was cool. And you could hear the crowd too, because like everybody was into booing each other's anthems and all that. Everybody was pretty passionate, I'm not going to lie. But then at the end, overtime goal, boom, game over. Canada's celebrating. And the game was held in Boston. But then the crowd kind of turned into, all right, this was fucking cool. Everybody's getting a round of applause. You know, everybody's cheering for everything. So I did like that as well. But in the heat of the moment, everybody was kind of, you know, took their sides. It was good. We haven't had this in a long time. I know it seems silly, but we haven't really had this type of internationally type tournament in hockey in a long time. It was kind of like a mini Olympics in some senses. So it was really cool. It was really well done, really fun. And I know John's a big hockey fan too. So I'm going to guess that one of his favorite players is playing on the Canadian squad.
I am still here, but in order to tune out the unwanted guest co-host we've got, mm-hmm. I have to mute myself on OBS to mute my input for the YouTube stream. And then I also have to mute myself separately on the Zencast.
Go for it. Just go for it. I mean, what are you going to do? Everybody knows you have kids. Everybody knows you have kids.
Hey, well, it's... He's got his... little soft toy. It's a star, like a rainbow star. And when you squeeze it, it plays Twinkle Twinkle. So I don't know if that's picking up in the background. Okay, yeah. Fantastic.
I thought you had Depeche Mode showing up. Oh, sounds great. Martin Gore sounds great at your house. No, just leave it, go, dude, because, again, everybody knows you have kids. I say just keep it in.
Yep. No, we've had a lovely week. It's half term here, hence the lack of bedtime routines. We had a nice trip away during the week. We went to visit a place called Wookie Hole, which is a cave, and there's a witch inside the cave. And I bought some cheese from the cave. Nice. Inside there's a hotel. That's right, we stayed in the hotel. Then we went to Bristol, and we saw all the wonderful sights around Bristol. We went to Soft Play. We went to see the Clifton Suspension Bridge. We went on Isambard Kingdom Brunel's SS Great Britain boat. There's some lovely attractions in Bristol. There's a kind of sort of interactive fantasy art installation called Wake the Tiger, which is amazing, like incredible, really sort of immersive, like going to like an alien planet or something. And then we got to the end of it and left. And then Arthur was a bit confused because he was like, where's the tiger? We didn't wake a tiger. And I was trying to explain the concept of a metaphor to him, but it was, you know, 3-year-olds, they just don't get it. They've not got that sort of grasp of metaphysical concept. So that was that. What else did we do? We went to a science museum called We the Curious, which was good. They've got a planetarium there. Always love a planetarium.
Yes.
Now Mally's come down and she's shouting as loud as she can.
I know.
To sabotage, because she's annoyed that I'm doing the podcast. She's obviously felt I've not given her enough notice, as I am with what's going on.
What's transpiring right now? Can we maybe get him a solo concert? Get him on a mic.
To which we ask him some questions.
Yes,
Arthur,
please.
Come here, right? Let's turn off the bedtime start and you come and talk to the listeners. And we'll do an interview. Now, bear in mind, Damon, he can't hear you because I've got...
Right, you're going to have to ask him the questions. Yes.
Yes, so you tell me what you want me to ask him and then I'll ask him.
All right. First, is that his favorite song right now?
Is that your favorite song?
Yeah.
What's your second favorite song?
Oh, okay.
The Twinkle Bit.
The Twinkle Bit.
Yeah, the Star Bit. The Star of the Bit. And inside the star, there was one bone. Look. Inside there was one bone.
There's a bone inside the star. But Uncle Damon wants to know what your favourite song is.
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Okay, and I'm asking a follow-up question. What's your second favourite song?
Of the Star Bit.
A different song. Are there any other songs that you like?
Twinkle, twinkle, little
We've established this, yes.
Okay, yeah. Right,
so would you mind singing a few bars for us?
Can you sing it to us, please, Arthur? Can you sing Twinkle, Twinkle?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Let's go.
Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Fantastic. High five. That was wonderful.
Yay. Joel, can I ask you a question? Do you ever just like say, listen, dear, I have a work trip I have to go on. I'll be away for the weekend and just rent a hotel room and just to get away. Peace and quiet.
Why would I possibly want to get away from these wonderful characters?
I mean, my goodness.
It's like living in my own sitcom. Tell you what, Damon, I've got a question for you.
Yes,
I'm going to ask you this and then mute myself.
Please.
So this is from the Discord. This is the G in Mega stands for Gotto. And he or she or they says, Damon, is Auston Matthews or Joel Embiid the biggest current loser in sports? Matthews can't even win a big game in Boston when he's in a USA jersey.
You son of a bitch. How dare that person? You can mute yourself. I'll take care of this one. Listen, you son of a bitch. How dare you saying these hurt. And you know what? This isn't the first one from him. I'm going to say that again. Or I don't know. I'm assuming him. Maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, you're a son of a bitch. You're a dirty dog son of a bitch. But spitting truths. Do we quit on it? He was on the ice, giving up the pretty poor defensive play, I will say, from Auston Matthews. A little disappointing, but he could have won it a couple times. He had some really grade A chances to win it in overtime. And of course, everybody going into this series was talking about Canada's goaltending maybe not being up to par. And of course, fucking Jordan Binnington stands on his fucking head, decides he's going to do his best Patrick Roy imitation, and nothing's getting by him. And then they go back the other side. And it was Auston Matthews' teammate, Mitchell Marner, with the assist. And Auston was a little bit out of position, I'll say, allowing maybe the best player in the NHL all kinds of space in front of the net for a pretty simple goal. So yes, not thrilled with that, but he had two assists, pal. He had two assists, two apples, if you will. Fuck Joel Embiid. I could give a shit about the Sixers. They could be annexed from Philadelphia, and I would not give a single fuck. But he is a joke. The guy sits out if he gets a paper cut. Constantly sitting out, constantly missing game. What do they call it? Not maintenance. Is it maintenance? No, it's I forget. Whatever it is, whatever the NBA has decided to rename fucking laziness. I don't care about the Sixers. They could win a championship and I would not give a shit. So to answer the question, maybe Auston Matthews has had more opportunities to fuck up in big spots than Joel Embiid. He only fucked up. Joel Embiid only fucked up in one. Oh, no. Well, I mean, they made the playoffs, but really the one heartbreaker was against Toronto, against the Raptors. Kawhi Leonard with the big bucket to put a dagger in the Sixers' hearts. All right. Well, listen, very hurtful. Very hurtful. I don't go asking very personal questions to you, I would hope I would get the same type of respect. And when Austin Matthews carries that cup, I'm going to drive it to your fucking house. And I'm going to shit on your front lawn. That is correct. That is how I'll get back. All right. Hopefully Joel has taken care of all the... You all right over there? You good?
Yeah, well...
A few
dramatic developments.
Who came over your house now? Do you have like neighbors that just came over? Anybody else coming in this house?
Well, so here's what happened. I thought that would be a great opportunity to usher Arthur with the mantelpiece clock back into the bedroom.
Okay.
But unfortunately, when I opened the bedroom door, Mally was sitting right in front of the door doing some laundry.
Okay.
And I struck her with the door, or the door sort of...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She was not happy about that.
No.
And then I tried to put Arthur in there, and then she shouted at him and said that the mantelpiece clock was not a toy.
Oh.
So she put the mantelpiece clock back on the shelf, and then Arthur got very upset about that.
Yeah, I bet.
So he's back in here with me.
Right.
And I think we're okay for now, but
yeah.
You know, this is,
how about this?
Is
make what... it a lads' night. Lads' night. Lads' night.
That's it.
Be like, this is the guys are going to hang out tonight. We don't need mom tonight. We got this. Really? Make some milkshakes. I don't know. Is that what kids eat? Milkshakes? Did I tell you?
He had the mother of all naps this afternoon. That's why.
Oh yes, he's
things have been upset because we went out this morning. I took Esther and Arthur to a new games arcade that opened up in the town nearby. So, you know, one of these places where you pay like, well, I paid £7 for a ticket, and then you get an hour in there, and it's all sort of your classic arcade games, and they're all free to play. So, my favourite game, House of the Dead, played on that. Time Crisis 2, Sega Rally, bit of air hockey, bit of Crazy Taxi. Arthur loves the driving games, which is good because I don't have to sort of follow him around and keep him out of trouble. So he will quite happily sit in the chair of a driving game, just wiggling the steering wheel around and chatting to people and shouting and saying, I'm driving. His legs are too short to hit the pedals, but he kind of figured out if he sort of basically lies down on the floor with his head like on the seat, he is able to press the pedals. So he was doing that and like kind of steering and the car sort of trundling on at about 5 miles an hour, and he was having a whale of a time. So
that's awesome.
That was it. It's been a really successful day all around.
Can he hop on one of those motorcycle-y type games?
He can, right? So I always offer him, like, do you want to sit on my lap to do driving? Like, I'll drive it and he can steer. And he says no, like, he's not having it. He's like, no, I want to do it by myself.
Yeah.
So he would rather do that, what I've just described, than actually, you know, sit on my lap and we do it together. He's fiercely independent. It's not 8 o'clock. No, it's 25 past nine, buddy. I'm going to give you another question. Well, no, this is not a question. This is a comment from Aaron on Blue Sky, who says, I've never let out a louder and more guttural F-U-C-K off in my life than when Damon said fajitas were overrated. Do you hate candles on your birthday cake too?
Yes.
Fajitas are overrated. And again, if you want to be the center of attention, if you need that much attention, that you need a hot sizzling plate full of peppers and onions to have everyone stare and be like, ugh, somebody got fucking fajitas. If you have to be that person, God bless you. God bless you. God, I like my dinners a little bit more low key. Fajitas stink. And they're not even that good. I'm telling you right now, they're not that good. I would have a burrito over a fajita any day of the week. I would have a chimichanga. Is that an American thing, though? It's not really a true Mexican. Anyway, fajitas stink. I don't need a sizzling plate. I don't need smoke coming up from my table. I don't need it. I don't want it. It's overrated. And you know. And here's the thing. Deep down, you know that's true. Deep down, you fucking know that's true. You fajita eating motherfucker. $10 Patreon. Get in now. Is that person paying $10? Do you know?
No, this is just a follow up on Blue Sky. That's the non-banned encoded social media.
We're blocking them. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Now, I think we had this. We're in agreement. Fajitas stink, right, Joel?
Oh, I like making them at home, a sort of like a home meal, but I don't think it's something that I would pay money to have at a restaurant. I think there's a distinction between restaurant fajitas and home cooked fajitas. I think at home, fair game. In a restaurant, like I said last time, you're just sort of begging for attention, really.
Exactly. Thank you very much. That's exactly what I said. I said you need attention that bad that you have to have a fucking sizzling plate coming to you. All right, listen. 26 minutes in, we haven't said one word about pro wrestling. This is great.
Where do you want to go, Dave? We've got three things that I think are worth talking about. We can talk about New Japan Cup field brackets. Okay. Mm-hmm. Without going full predictions, we'll just sort of give our thoughts on the field and lineups and all that. We can talk about Gabe Kidd appearing on AEW programming. And we can talk previewing Fantastica Mania, because I don't think there's anything else to discuss. So which of those would you like to do first?
Let's start with Gabe, why don't we? Because he seems to be the, I wouldn't say the flavor of the month, but he is definitely someone that we're talking about, we're interested in. And it was. I didn't see the appearance, mind you. But just getting wind that the idea of him showing up there. Look,
what can you do? You know what exactly he showed up on and what he's doing?
No.
What is the nature of this appearance?
I don't know. I mean, look.
So I was really paying attention to it. It wasn't Dynamite, was it?
Then it was Collision, right?
Collision.
Yeah.
So he's on Collision and he. What did he say? What did he want on Collision?
Did he just show up?
Know.
Who knows?
No, I thought he was going after maybe Daniel Garcia, some sort of Ring of Honor title.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I might have just dreamed that. Or I might be conflating something. Conflating that with something else that happened. But
I mean, it's all the same.
It doesn't really matter, does it? Yeah, it's all the same.
I understand where people are somewhat scratching their heads, and not just scratching their heads, they're a little concerned in the sense that, is this fucking Tony, pulling out all the stops and just writing checks and not like officially right now, but he's kind of, just planting the seeds, whining and dining, having him, feel good. This is a big time American promotion, blah, blah, blah.
A guy who, it should be noted, he wouldn't even have his name mentioned on AEW to promote the upcoming match with Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty, rather. Okay. But now suddenly he has a banger match against Omega and Tsuji, and everyone's talking about him. And then, suddenly he's getting his name and his face put on AEW program. It's bizarre.
Look, I am never going, and I've said it 1,000 times, I'll never fault a professional wrestler for chasing some money. If this is where this ends up going. Again.
Oh, it's the Butcher. He's facing the Butcher in a match on Collision.
Sam the Butcher from Alice, or from Pretty Punch. Nobody gets it because I'm old and doing references from 30.
Bad reference.
Yeah. Look, I understand. Well, here's the thing. People are gun shy. People are, we've seen this play out quite a few times in the past couple of years where you build up a name here and all of a sudden we're backing up the money truck and toodaloo. And once again, I'll never blame a pro wrestler for doing that. There's a short window where you can make real money. I'll say that. And there are only a handful where they can prolong that into making money for a long time. So, for a guy who, let's be honest here, he probably wasn't making a whole hell of a lot prior to the year that passed, probably made more money than he ever did in pro wrestling the past year and even now this year. And he's worked his fucking ass off to do that. It's not like he just woke up one morning and he found the money underneath a mattress. That said, if you're concerned, if you're worried, if you're, you know, if you've got a little traumatic symptoms or whatever from previous years where you're sweating out Tony Khan's checkbook, I get it. I can certainly sympathize with you. I don't think we have that much to worry about, truth be told. I really don't. And I'll tell you why. Because I do a podcast, and this is where I would tell you. Personally, I don't think – I think what makes Gabe special in New Japan is that they give him enough rope for him to kind of do what he wants to do. And I'm sure there are some checks and balances, but let's be honest here. It doesn't really feel like it. And I think the things that passion and that authenticity and that – all of it. I don't know if he would have that liberty in AEW. I think, you know, if we're talking WWE, I think that's completely off the table. So if AEW is an option for him, would he be the same? Would he be? Because trust me, it would have to be the same, because that's what makes him unique and special, and that's why there's so much buzz around him. And I don't know if that's possible on a network television program. Can there be elements of it? Okay, maybe. But you're getting the dollar store version. You're getting the fucking, you know, what's the cheapy eBay? Tenmo, is it? Tenmo, whatever. You're getting the knockoff version, it feels like. You're getting a, maybe not knockoff is the right word. You're getting a watered down version. And I don't know if that's necessarily something that people would be interested in. I could be dead wrong. I've been dead wrong before, obviously, about fucking fajitas. But I don't – I. And here's another thing, too. No matter what kind of money they would offer – and I'm not saying that he's gotten an offer. I'm not saying that there has been even a discussion of that. But him showing up there does kind of open up at least – thoughts and discussion about it. Even if they did write a big check, I don't know. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be a small fish in a big pond, Joel, or a big fish in a small pond?
I've made no bones about it. I will sell out immediately as soon as the right offer comes in.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, fair I enough. Take your point. Like, there's the two paths, aren't there? We've seen like the Ospreay path, like the Ospreay Jay White path, or there's a Zack Sabre Jr. path. So he's at a crossroads here. If I were mapping out what a Gabe Kidd soft jump to AEW would look like, it would start like this. This is exactly how it starts. So I think there is plenty to be worried about here. And I'm sure that those conversations have at the very least started. You know, this is not any pastrami. I've not talked to anyone who knows about this, but if Gabe wants that to happen, I'm sure that money is on the table for him. And our good friend Rocky Romero will be there to facilitate that jump every step of the way.
Smooth transition.
Yeah. So it comes down to what Gabe wants. And he might not know. He probably doesn't know at this point in his life what he wants to do. I think he would be foolish to shut the door on anything at the moment. If I were him, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be sort of not stringing them along, but you know, dipping my toes in that water and seeing what kind of numbers Tony is offering to write on that check. But yeah, as you laid out, Damon, it depends what he wants to do. Does he want to be rich? Because if he wants that, then he can get it. I think he's done enough in his very short time at the top to convince Tony that that money is worth it. So I'm sure Tony will write all kinds of numbers for him that will look good in his bank balance. But as you said, I don't think he will get a fraction of the creative fulfillment and the you know, potential stardom that he will do as a New Japan wrestler. If he wants to go down the Zack Sabre Jr. path, that is there for him. I think that is an open door just waiting for him to walk through it, because the New Japan fans love him, and there are years and years and years of great stories and Tokyo Dome main events for him if he wants it.
Yeah.
So it depends what he wants. It depends where he is in life. You know, he might want to start a family and then his priorities will change. He might have loved ones in the West that he wants to be closer to and spend more time with, or be in a situation where the financial security is more important than to him at that point in his life than the creative fulfillment. So we have no idea. There's too many moving parts. I think it's absolutely fair to be worried, because we've seen it. There's the precedent for it. But I'm just curious about how this will go down with the fans, particularly the domestic New Japan fans, because I don't know. They're not stupid, obviously, and they know what's up. If they start seeing, okay, this guy who was putting the line mark on his tights and standing in the ring shouting, "Ore wa Shin-Nihon, motherfucker!" And, you know, and then a week later, he's appearing on a Collision and saying, "Oh, I want the ROH title." Then that rings a bit hollow. I would have, and of course, he's a professional wrestler, like Rich Craig says. They're professional lies, and he has carefully cultivated a gimmick character where the defining characteristic at the moment is him wanting to be a bastion of New Japan Pro Wrestling, because that is what is connected with the audience. That does not mean that is an accurate real-life reflection of the desires and motives of the real-life gay kids, right? So there's always that element of it. Do not take any of what he says in or out of the ring, or does in or out of the ring, at face value, because he's a professional wrestler and they are deceptive people, right? But what I'm curious is if the fans might think, huh, hang on a second, you know, he says he's Mr. New Japan and, you know, he's going to save the company and is wearing the lion mark and is going to, you know, die for the fans. But then he's on AEW programming. That's those two things are a bit incongruous. And if that might be something that gets picked up by opponents that he's feuding with, you know, is that a thread that Ren Narita might want to pull at as they are building hype to their New Japan Cup match? I'm just checking. Are they facing each other? Yes, they are.
Whoa.
You know, he might very well, Ren may very well say that, like, oh, well, you know, you claim to be the defender of New Japan, but what are you doing chasing the Tony Khan bag? What's going on here? You're trying to deceive the fans. You're talking out both sides of your mouth here. So, yeah, I'm curious, is that going to compromise this really powerful and deep emotional connection he has cultivated with the fans if they start to smell what Gabe is cooking, so to speak?
Yeah, and I will also say that pro wrestling fans are pretty forgiving in the sense of you do something spectacular and we'll forget the past pretty easily. That being said, they're also, and especially for a promotion like New Japan, where in recent years it does feel like we constantly are on guard for that outside influence taking, stealing, poaching, wooing, courting, whatever word you want to use, our stars. He developed a connection with the crowd very quickly and rapidly and intensely, let's be honest. And he did it in such a short amount of time. You know, you look at other people, it took years. I mean, you know, it wasn't like overnight Okada was a guy that people clung to. And it wasn't like Naito was a person that people just connected with and clung to. And let's be honest here, as much as we want to sit there and trumpet Hiroshi Tanahashi, it wasn't like he showed up in a ring and then everybody fucking fawned. It took time and trust and build and people being wanting to connect with that. And I'm not going to say an easy way to do that is to be the defender of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But, you know, you do that and people are going to kind of rally around you. It's I hate to say it, but it's kind of like the hockey thing where, you know, people don't give a fuck about hockey, but all of a sudden you throw an American flag or a Canadian flag on it and it's like, wow, hockey, let's go. You know, I get that. I wonder what Chris Charlton's thinking right now. I wonder what Chris was thinking, sitting there, getting the word that Gabe was showing up on AEW television after everything that has happened in the past couple months. I'm very curious of what a guy like Chris Charlton might think about this particular situation.
Let me put you on the spot then, Damon. I'm going to ask for your prediction. How long do you think Gabe Kidd stays with New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I think a while. I don't think he... Here's the problem. One, it just sounds really not great, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. It really depends on if he shits the bed or not. Like, if he's successful and the people connect with him.
Yes. These are job interviews, aren't they? These matches.
Yes, they are. Yeah, exactly. Are. That's exactly right.
Because we've seen other wrestlers get these opportunities and don't resonate as much with crowds, and then there is no further interest pursued. Mm-hmm. But then you see guys like Aussie Open or Will Ospreay managing Fletch. To... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you did say Aussie Open, my bad. Good.
But yeah, so if he knocks it out of the park and the fans are into him, then
that
money's going to be on the table.
Yeah, all bets are off at that point. So it really depends. So if you want him to stick around, I would go to an AEW show and sabotage. Just do everything in your power to fucking shit on anything he does if you want him to stay. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's something that we always have to recognize moving forward with New Japan. And that is why it's tough to hitch your wagon to especially Western talent. It's very difficult. And as we've seen, even if you're homegrown, born and bred Tokyo, it's still it could be a challenge depending upon how good you might be. I mean that's the world we live in. Now again, do I think that everything that makes Gabe Kidd Gabe Kidd will translate well in AEW? I'm going to shrug my shoulder and say I don't know. I'm going to say that I don't think so, but I could be totally wrong.
I hate to say, I don't even know if that's relevant.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think Tony's just signing to be Tony?
Yeah. He can't help himself. Tony's toy box, isn't it?
That. You see his boat? You see, or not his boat, but his dad's boat? This fucking thing. It probably cost just millions upon millions of dollars. Yeah, I mean, if dad's buying a boat like that, trust me, they can afford Gabe Kidd. And we're not talking about Okada money either, or Will money either. We're talking probably noticeably less money, but even then, it would be more than what he's making now. I can almost guarantee it. So, no, I don't. I'm going to say he doesn't. But it really depends on what happens with this program, to be quite frank.
I've got a pessimistic voice in my head is saying a year. Mm. And next February, next contract season, he's off.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right.
Like, that's the game, right? We know this as New Japan fans. I'm not going to, you know, get all up in my feelings about a wrestler getting too big for New Japan and going on elsewhere, because that has happened many, many times in the past at points where New Japan were a lot more successful and able to offer more money than they currently are, right? That's just, we know what the ecosystem is, and there's no getting away from that. And I'm not going to do the whole, New Japan should offer him X amount of money. Because whatever they offer him is not going to be able to compete with whatever AEW can offer him. But I would have liked the opportunity to bask in the delusion that he actually does love New Japan a little bit longer than a week. So it just, like I said, it was very jarring going from that declaration of ride or die Shin Nihon to this. So it's, yeah. This is what it is. This is the life of a New Japan pro wrestling fan. We move on. Who are we going to hitch our wagon to next?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah.
What can we do to protect the next guy? Can we? So who would Tony be? Probably someone like Oleg Bolton. I bet Tony would love to get his hands on him, like repackage him, some sort of like Vladimir Kozlov, sort of early stage Rusev gimmick. So we need that. Whoever the people were that sabotaged Kenny Omega's visa passport situation, yeah, getting into Japan, just do the same. Just make reverse sure it. That he cannot, Oleg Bolton, just some sort of scandal where he's not able to leave the country under any circumstances.
Yeah. The problem is that you are a breeding ground for great pro wrestlers, and you don't have the financial wherewithal, or you don't, let's put it this way, you don't have the financial wherewithal to compete with a Khan. And this is always the biggest problem is that it's always in the back of your mind. When things get good and things get cooking, this is always in the back of your mind of, oh, don't get too good. And we've joked about it for months. Don't get too good. Be good, but don't be too good. That, you know what it is? You know what it boils down to?
That's it. You got to hit the David Finlay sweet spot.
Yes.
Of being good, but not good enough and not looking good enough and not just having that level of sort of polish for the Western audience.
To be fair, they did suck up Jay White. Right? You know? Never know.
Yeah, I mean, Jay White, compare Jay White's physique and David Finlay's physique. There's the difference.
Well, yeah.
And that is what I think is the sweet spot for Finlay that keeps him around. Because I think if David Finlay had Jay White's upper body, then he'd probably be on the next plane to wherever it is World Wrestling Entertainment located, Stamford, yeah, Connecticut.
The NXT training ground. Where is that? Orlando? Orlando, Florida, they
call it? Yeah.
Think about all the people, though. Juice, a guy like Juice Robinson. Again, Jay White. We already know about, you know, Kenny and Bucks and at the time Cody and, you know, all of that.
Lance Archer. Cody was,
yeah. I mean, just like the names just go on and on and on and on. And at every level, like the super elite pro wrestler to the upper mid-card, I mean, and once again, I think that, like, if you're Western-based, you probably have a greater percentage of making that move, but we've seen it across the board. And again, it's not just Tony, you know, at the time Vince was writing checks to get Shinsuke over.
Just let us do just one Kikuchi cycle, please.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for.
I want a Kikuchi cycle. Yes. Yeah, please.
Just dome to dome. That's all I want. A dome to dome arc where we can enjoy Gay Kids and then he can go. It's fine. I'm not going to begrudge him that. I'm never going to criticize him for taking that bag because I would do the exact same thing. But
I want Hiroki Goto to pin him in the middle of the ring. I want him to fucking. I want our world champion, a guy who stuck with us through thick and thin, to put his fucking stamp on this and job him out on the way out. Again, is it definite that he's going? No. We're just following the fucking breadcrumbs at this point. And we are where we are. And we kind of know we've been on this path before. That's what this conversation is based off of. It is not based off of, yes, he's signed. It is not based off of, yes, the ink is still wet on the contract. No, we've seen the song and dance play out before.
Where do you want to go next? New Japan Cup or Fantastica Mania?
I don't know nothing about Fantastica Mania. But let's be very clear. It's not my favorite time of the year. I've said it a trillion times. I usually like the last night, but it's not my cup of tea. Let's start with New Japan Cup, and then we can wrap up with the Fantastica Mania stuff.
24 men. We've got a load of weird first-round buys, but don't try and make sense of them. We're not doing that. They've just done the buys in a way so that there are a mixture of good matches and not so good matches on the shows so that they can sell tickets to the shows. So I'm not going to waste any time being like, what? Why is Yoshihashi getting a buy to the second round? I don't care. Like, it's because they want to sell tickets to shows, right? So on the left side of the bracket, we have Yotsuji against Evil. He will then face, the winner of that will face David Finlay. We've got, so that's obviously a continuation of the feud that was set up after the New Beginning show. Then we got Yuya Uemura versus Sanada. It's amazing, isn't it, how these draws, is this like a random draw that just so happened to have all the guys who had a feud set up at New Beginning facing each other.
Strange.
So we've got Yuya against Sanada, and the winner of that will face Yoshihashi. We got Oiwa against Chase Owens. Ugh.
Wow.
Chase Owens, the skid mark on the New Japan Pro Wrestling toilet.
Oh, come on, please.
Then the winner of that will face
New Japan Pro Wrestling is a body company, okay?
Yeah, where has your body fascism energy been for all the Chase Owens matches we've had to review over the last...
We're going to fix this. The doctor's arrived. We're going to fix it. I'm kidding, of course, kidding.
Then we got Gabe Kidd against Ren Narita. The winner of that will face Taichi. On the right side of the bracket, we got El Fantasmo facing Great Okan. Winner of that will face Shota Umino. Tetsuya Naito against Callum Newman. Winner facing Jeff Cobb. Tomohiro Ishii versus Drillup Maloney. Winner of that facing TJP. And then Oleg Bolton against Bad Luck Fale. Winner of that facing Shingo Takagi.
Bad Luck Fale.
Question from... Vandergrift says, with New Japan experimenting with new tournament formats, would a double elimination New Japan Cup be of any interest? Yeah, that's where you have like a loser's bracket and a winner's bracket. I think with that kind of thing, it's hard to get away from the feat. Like, I don't want people who have lost a match going deep into a single elimination tournament. Yeah, that doesn't sit right with me. So I don't have a problem with it. No, I do have a problem with it in theory. No, I don't like a double elimination tournament. Sorry. Other question. Andrew says, how many combined wins do Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale need in the cup to completely wipe out the good vibes from New Beginning in Osaka? So, yeah, it's a bit of a curious one that these two were brought back, because Chase Owens in particular was not in World Tag League. He was in and around Tokyo, I believe, for Wrestle Kingdom, was not booked on the Rambo. But he is back for this. So I think that is just to give... Well, it could be one of two things. It could just be to give a win for Oiwa to help solidify him in fans' minds as a guy who is in contention for the Grade 1 Climax later on in the year. Or it could be something Bullet Club related. And this seems unlikely, because there have been situations before where I've thought, oh, they have booked this person here on this card for this event because there's going to be a big payoff to the Bullet Club Civil War thing. And it has not happened. And I've been saying that for, it feels about 7 years now. So I'm not going to start putting that clown makeup on. But I think it's notable that they would have, in theory, all of the Bullet Club people there if they were to run some sort of angle. But I don't necessarily think they will. And Fale being there, I think, is just to give a cool win for Oleg Bolton, because that's going to look rad when he picks him up and slams him and does all his big power moves, and that's going to be cool. So I'm actually in favour of bringing Fale over if he's just staring at the lights for Oleg Bolton and is going to take some bumps for him. And really, Chase Owens, I mean, if... Yeah, do you not think Fale would respect... Oleg,
I don't
Bolton
think he can. That's my point.
Slow motion bump. Okay. I do bump in big exaggerated inverted commas with my fingers.
Okay.
But I don't see either of them winning any tournament matches, though.
No, neither do I.
Because I think I could see Chase Owens winning. That is not inconceivable to me that Chase Owens wins and then faces Zack Sabre Jr. But then I think that completely torpedoes the momentum and the credibility that you're building for Oiwa.
That's the key, right? So we have, coming out of Wrestle Kingdom and New Beginning, you have a ton of people that were starting to strap up and put the rocket on and all of that. And it feels like it's a lot of it is simultaneously. Well, you can't book a tournament and have people lose in the fucking first round and think you're going to maintain that momentum. You got to book people that, A, people would love to see lose, and two, you know, in the Fale situation, it is, no matter what you think of Fale in the ring at this point, and trust me, nobody thinks much, at the very least, you've got the big man win, right? So, yeah, I mean, to me, that seems like the simple, logical explanation for this, is that people have to fucking lose, because we can't have guys that we're trying to build get popped in the first round. I mean, especially against, you know, I don't care what they've done in the past, a Chase Owens or a Bad Luck Fale. It would be preposterous at this point. So yeah, I'm my guess is loyal hands, loyal people, you know, maybe they want to come visit a little bit, see friends. I don't know, you know, and they're willing to lie down in the first round. That's
they might be paying for their own flights, as far as we know.
As far as we know, maybe. But I think if we're looking at logic and we're looking at I'll say the safe chalk. Why are they fucking here? That's what I would say.
Yeah, because I think there's a mission here with Oiwa and Driller Maloney in particular to get them where they need to be come July, if they are to be included in the G1 climax. And I think both of them almost certainly in at this point. Like, you don't give Driller Maloney a clean singles win over Shingo Takagi if you're not intending for him to be in the G1 climax. So having them paired off against those guys who are on the fringes in that play-in tournament for the New Japan Soul Tour. So I'm looking at guys like Yoshihashi, Chase Owens, who else was in that?
Callum.
Ishii. Yeah, Callum. I mean, Callum, Oleg, I'm assuming they're back in, but I'm thinking of the guys who were in that tournament but didn't qualify. So Ishii, TJP, was Farley in that tournament? I don't think he was, actually, but
no.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that there is the possibility of having like a redemption story for a guy. Like, maybe a guy like, I don't know, Taichi or Yoshihashi, you want to tell that story where they're trying to claw their way back into contention, where they, you know, they can stake a claim to being one of the top 20 guys. But at this point, I am looking at those guys I've mentioned. So Yoshihashi, Chase Owens, Taichi, as much as it pains me to say it, Ishii, TJP, Fale, to be guys who are there to give credible wins for that next generation who you're saying, no, these are the guys now who are the, you know, your elite G1 climax contenders. And
don't forget the repackaged Shota Umino, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? That they've paired him up with a fellow Hontai member in El Phantasmo and a title holder, TV title holder.
Yeah.
Oh no, sorry, it's not. So he Shota would be facing the winner of Phantasmo Great Okan. So we're either doing a Great Okan rematch, or he's facing El Phantasmo, who very well could have been a tag partner for him in World Tag League before Phantasmo took time off.
I wouldn't have a problem with either of it, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, you could do the rematch of Okan. You know, you were the guy who started my path down this whatever journey he's on now.
Oh, God, if he just gets the win back, though, he beats Okan and be like, oh, I'm back, guys. I've found my confidence. I'm, and then his hair just sort of sprouts back the next day.
He comes back out with another cardboard title.
I think the more compelling story is, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like
Phantasmo.
Well, okay. So there's the added wrinkle here, actually, which I've forgotten to mention, of a guy who we thought, from multiple sources, believed that was going to be in this cut field, who is not in the field. But there is also, at the anniversary show, El Phantasmo having an open challenge where he is facing an X for the TV title, which could very well be that person. That would be my guess, that person was originally slated to be in the field for the cut, but then for whatever reason has been shunted to maybe it could just be sort of a one-off match, could be just testing the waters match to see how they get on with El Phantasmo in that open challenge and then sort of take it from there.
Well, but I will say this, that the New Japan Cup sure does feel barren now. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, I see what you did there. Very good. Very good. But yeah, El Phantasmo is an interesting one, being a title holder, because facing Great Okan and then Shota Umino, I think there's a story you can tell there with Phantasmo being someone that, I don't know, sparks some sort of crisis or reflection or inspiration, that provokes some sort of reaction from Shota Umino, be it a positive one or a negative one. I mean, that could be ripe for some sort of explicit heel turn, couldn't
that's
it?
What I'm saying.
Umino going mental and beating up El
Phantasmo. You're going against super duper babyface in El Phantasmo at this point, right?
He could kick him in the cancer and then get some tremendous heat from
no,
him.
No, that would be terrible. I hope he has none remaining. I did want to follow up on my Baron joke as well. Everyone driving around thinking, they're bringing in Baron von Raschke? Imagine that. The claw. Yeah,
that's going to get aggregated.
Yeah, pick that one up. Go ahead. Yeah, pricks. So you are, I mean, to me, if we want to do anything with a repackaged Shota, wouldn't it be more compelling to have it against the uber babyface El Phantasmo? I think so. I don't know. Makes sense to me. That's the way I would go anyway. So, and yes, the dreaded X mystery. Watch it be Taguchi again. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Until it's confirmed to be anything else, I'm assuming that any X is Taguchi.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, because the very fact that they have not announced it to be the person who we think it is, I think says a lot, doesn't it? That there's either some uncertainty there, that they are not convinced that they will actually, for whatever reason, make it to that show and be able to perform that match, or that they think that there is no value in advertising that person beforehand, that they're not going to move the needle in any meaningful way.
Can you imagine the deafening silence of not announcing, again, we're going with it with the old X and having him stroll out? The
Probably won't need to imagine that, Damon.
Wowzers. Yeah. So, yeah. Watch it be Robbie X. Huh? No? All right.
He's busy. He's got his junior tag title challenge coming up, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's already taken for him. All right. Yeah, but so we'll see. But yes, that's the way I would go. What do you think of the lineup overall? Do you think is especially the first round? I don't think it's that bad. I think it looks
solid. Pretty decent.
Yeah. All things considered, and again, taking the wacky, preposterous idea of a buy out that we won't get into, but yeah, I mean, I think I like the first round, and I think that there.
I think what they're doing that's interesting is they're kind of dangling some very tasty possibilities for further the deeper we go in the tournament, and of course, not all of these, if any, are actually going to happen. But you're looking at things like potential evil against Finlay face off, Bullet War Dogs, House of Torture, Bullet Club stuff. We've got the possibility of what else are we looking at? Oiwa against Zach facing his senpai. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one. Gay Kid versus Taichi. I would love that. That's a sexy looking match on paper. And again, we'll probably get none of these. The Shota ELP possibility, as we've outlined. What else is looking tasty? Yeah, I think the sort of the bottom right-hand one is quite interesting as well. Looking at potential Shingo versus Oleg Bolton. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because you think Shingo needs some sort of bounce back win, possibly, after losing to Driller. But then Oleg Bolton, after that brilliant performance against Takeshita, it would kind of stand to reason that you would want him to go deep into the tournament. How far is Driller going to go? Like, do we really want to consolidate that momentum he had by beating Shingo, by having him go deep in the tournament, and say, "Yeah, this is a serious heavyweight contender here."
Well, we got to raise we got to raise his poor NXT stock, you know.
NXT UK, let's get it right.
My bad, right? Okay.
There's a lot of tasty possibilities, and I don't think they will all be necessarily be given to us, because, you know, as I say about New Japan, it's a company that gives you what you want, but not necessarily when you want it. Mm-hmm. It gives it when you need it, not when you want it.
Great. I like that a lot. That should be a t-shirt. Seriously. any surprises, do you think, that you know that they love the first round shockeroo? Any possible upsets that you have circled?
Callum Newman and Naito is an interesting one, isn't it? Because again, you'd want to think Newman, who is still a relative rookie, we know he was in the G1 field last year, but if you want to solidify him as a guy to be like, yeah, we still got to pay attention to this guy, he's still one of the top prospects, to have him immediately get bounced in the first round would be interesting. So,
and it is Naito, who we always say, give him time off, let him rest. Do you want Naito to go deep into a fucking New Japan Cup that, quite honestly, he doesn't need to win?
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. And then Callum Newman against Jeff Cobb in the next round would be really interesting. Stable mates, but you imagine the sort of the chemistry and the conflicting styles of the two wrestlers would be really interesting. So that's one. Whether you'd even call that a shock, I don't know, but
I think
Newman versus Naito is one.
Yeah. That's probably the one I'm looking at the most of being the upset special. And again, we might just be like completely dreaming this one up. But, if we're just putting out the bullet points and saying, okay, here's where we are, that would be one that I would circle. Let's put it this way. If this were a betting situation, I'm sure the odds would be pretty favorable in the sense of, a little bit of a long shot, just looking at the names on the pieces of paper. I would take a swing at that. I think that might be one that you're looking at the potential upset for the New Japan Cup. I wonder, is Chris Samson going to bust out the old?
Yes, pool? He has done. Yeah,
nice.
Let me give it a plug. It's Sport of Pro Wrestling. I know it's Sport of Pro Wrestling, but I wonder if I could be more specific with the actual.
Come on, link Joel.
If you go to sportofprowrestling.com, you will find it, and there you can find the link on there to enter the New Japan Cup bracket challenge. So I did a little preliminary one, and I'm going to change my mind about a million times between now and the tournament actually starting. And what I'm hoping to do is get Chris and John Carroll and Jay Michael to do a bit of bonus audio where we do our bracket picks.
Okay.
So that's what I'm trying to do at the moment, but we'll see.
All right.
Of course, that'll be Patreon, so get your effing wallet out. But so, yeah, I'm not going to sort of go through asking for your round-by-round picks, but
Thank you. Do
you have any sort of gut feeling? I don't know if you just want to give me, do you have sort of a final in mind or a final four, just glancing at it, that you're getting a feeling in your bones about?
I really feel like this is, and it really depends upon like what they have in store, but I really feel like this is where we get the Shota new coat of paint. So I'm really curious and really interested to see where that goes. Because they wouldn't have done everything that they have done to this point to just have him not go deep, I would think. So he's a guy I've circled, to be frank. Let's put it this way, going deep. I would want Bolton to move deep. It could be a nice little coming out party. And my picks are probably more skewed toward young guy getting push, as opposed to, well, of course, he's an established guy and we just need to heat him up kind of route. I think this might be and it really depends again on what they have up their sleeve. This could be a one of those. Okay, if this is good, this is going to take off. So I'm putting a couple more. I'm putting a couple extra poker chips on this being a good tournament for him. How about that?
I'm sort of trying to work backwards from Sacrogenesis main event, assuming that Goto is still champion, and I think he will be. Who is it you want challenging Goto for that title at Sacrogenesis? That is going to be a cool main event for Sumo Hall. And do you want them to win? And I know the popular discourse at the moment is David Finlay winning the cup and then beating Goto and doing the whole, your kids are rubbish, you're a bad dad thing. But to be honest, I think that's played out. I think they've done that. Yeah. And I think they should move on from it. I think when Goto does eventually lose that title, there is more value in him losing it to sort of an up and like a younger guy with that sort of warrior spirit style match where it's like a passing of the torch. Like, okay, you are now the new fighting spirit guy rather than dastardly heel. He was nasty to the children kind of thing. So
yeah.
that's what I'm looking at for to whoever is dethroning Goto. And I don't know if you want to do it. Because I think Goto's drawing quite well at the moment. So I'm wondering if you want to...
about him.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, do you want to ride that out? I say ride it out all to Osaka Joe Hall, Dominion.
Yeah. I'm totally cool with that. Yeah.
I can see it. You know, Takeshita or something. Goto versus Takeshita for main event of Dominion or something like that. So if we're going down that road, then I'm thinking whoever he faces at Sacrogenesis, he beats. So we're looking for someone who would gain something from winning the New Japan Cup, having a competitive match with Goto at Sacrogenesis, losing, but coming away from that with their reputation enhanced. So I'm not going down the road of like a dastardly heel winning the cup. Yeah. I'm wondering if it, you know, maybe you could do a Gabe Kidd, you know, Gabe Kidd versus Goto, and having that kind of, you know, you could just picture what that match looks like, and it would be great where Gabe just comes up short. Or maybe, you know, maybe you could do someone like Yuya Uemura going all the way,
you know,
Yuya versus Goto, bit of a left field one, but you know, then again, Yuya's just come back from injury, and they don't usually do when a guy comes back from injury, they're usually losing their first match back, aren't they?
Right.
But yeah, I'd say, what do you think a plausible Sacrogenesis main event would be? Is it someone that you would see beating Goto or losing to them and then sort of taking it logically from there?
I really want to think that you would want some flexibility, because I know that we sat here and we were talking with Goto, not with him, but about him winning the title. And then, you know, it's not going to be a long defense, you know, give him one and done, and, you know, it'd be just a great moment. But I think this has kind of morphed into something a little bit deeper. I mean, he's got the anniversary show. He's got, you know, Yuji Nagata lined up. So you would assume those are two wins. So technically it wouldn't be a one and done. So he could drop it. I don't think anybody would bat an eye, lash a brow. But in the same breath, like, I kind of want the flexibility baked in to say, hey, you know what? If this is working, let's stick with it. You know, if he gets some really decent houses and there's buzz, why make a move? Milk it for all it's fucking worth. I like the idea of Gabe losing. And it kind of harkens back to our opening here. You know, if you feel that there is any shot, like, so what do you do with Gabe? You build him up? Or you're having him put over your world champion? Because I don't think it would hurt Gabe at all if he lost to Hirooki Goto in an IWGP heavyweight championship match. I don't think it would hurt him at all.
No, I think the narrative coming out of that would be New Japan Cup winner, Gabe Kidd, rather than Sacrogenesis main event loser, as it was for Yota Tsuji last year. I think the takeaway from that season was not, oh, he lost to Naito at Sacred Genesis. It was, he won the cup.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. Again, I keep throwing out that monkey wrench, though, of Shota. Like, I just, like, it really depends on what they have up their sleeve with the dude. And I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm excited about the idea of a coat of paint. But let's be honest here. I don't think anybody wasn't excited for the possibility of him being something special for New Japan. And then it just didn't happen. And then it kind of morphed and manifested and got worse as this went along. We're starting fresh. You know, I say that. I don't know if we're starting fresh. We're all assuming we're starting fresh. If we're starting fresh, I'm excited because I know in the depths of my fucking soul that the guy, there's something there. The company sees that there's something there. He just hasn't made it happen for himself. I'm really curious. And if they did, and if it works, holy shit. I mean, I don't know what that looks like, Joel, but if it works, wow, holy fuck, here we go, right? I think he is the fucking Joker. He is the wild card. Gabe Kidd, I would have no problem with either. I really wouldn't. And he can lose, and it wouldn't hurt anything, and it wouldn't hurt anything. Have him win the cup and challenge. No one would put a bat, you know, bat an eyelash. I said it twice. I like any of those two options, quite frankly. I like any of those two options.
Is there any point us previewing Fantastica Mania when me and Devin did such an excellent job of it Patreon?
I think if you are a fan of that type of style of pro wrestling and you look forward to Fantastica Mania, I think that is a easy $10 investment. How long did you go on that audio?
That's a good question. Let me find out.
2 hours?
It was about an hour.
Okay. I mean, that's a good solid
51 minutes, 55 seconds.
You know. There you go. And you weren't talking dick jokes. You know what I mean? Like, there's solid, meaty content there if you're a fan. Or if you're new to the product and you kind of want to get on board and be like, okay, what the fuck is all this Fantastica Mania shit? Awesome. And I will go so far as to say this. Even if you're like, maybe you're not into that. Maybe you're in the Damon camp. Okay, fair enough. Not much room. Got to be honest with you. You can't jump on my fucking train. That said, maybe a $10 investment might get you juiced up a little bit, might make you see something that you didn't really notice, or maybe you weren't aware of a history, or maybe you, hey, you know what? I'm going to watch it anyway. I might as well get as much, you know, information and enjoyment and really know what the fuck I'm watching. $10. I think it's a no-brainer, like no doubt. So that's probably the route. If you want to hear some Fantastica Mania talk, give that a listen. $10 plus for that month, you get all the you know, you get to do the YouTube live thing, which is fucking hilarious that we're doing that, but we do it. Two, you get anything extra that comes into our dumb brains. Great, you're getting that audio. Perfect example are the brackets for the New Japan Cup. Third, there's other bonuses that I think that, quite honestly, if you invested $10, you will be very happy with the time that you spend in our vault, so to speak. So countless hours of entertainment. So again, give it a try. $10. Give it a try. 1 month. I guarantee you'll renew. It's worth every penny. And over and above that, the fucking deli. Come on. What the fuck? I know I'm selling it, but it's the honest to God fucking truth. It's the best $10 you'll spend this month. Promise you that.
Last thing, Damon. Any thoughts on Gran Hamada, who sadly passed away this week.
I did see that. He has a style that is absolutely unique. And it's a frantic pace. The way I describe him is he's a smaller guy in pro wrestling terms that cannot help himself but to be speedy and fast but doesn't want to be. And as a terrible, absolutely fucking terrible analogy, who was the guy with fucking Bob Holly in WWE during the Attitude Era?
Crash Holly?
Was it Crash? Yeah, yeah. Was it? I don't know, I forget. The one who was just like, you know, he was kind of like, it was kind of like Spike Dudley a little bit.
Crash Holly, I think.
Yeah, so he has that kind of thing. An absolute underrated, always in the mix. He was in a lot of the, as he got older, he was in a lot of the, I want to say like FMW, but also like, was it Torum or what was that promotion that it was? I think the one that Sasuke, I'm talking about. Yes, I think he is one of the more entertaining pro wrestlers, to be quite honest. He's a smaller guy who might even think he's bigger, and he can't help himself but to be at this frantic pace. Definitely go out of your way. I'm sure that there are probably plenty of tribute videos out there that give you kind of like the best taste of him. I think he's might be one of the more underrated guys in all of pro wrestling, and especially the history of Japanese pro wrestling. Give him a look. I think there's plenty there that you can sink your teeth into. And he's been around. Oh my God, he's been around. I think he started, and maybe Joel, you might even know, the 70s. He might have started like in the late 70s, maybe even earlier than that. Feels like
I just give a quick plug to a piece written on Voices Wrestling from Kay Slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The life, career, and enduring legacy of Gran Hamada. So if you're looking for more detailed information, there's a really good write-up there from Case.
Yeah. He does a good job. I didn't know Case was – I know the gimmick was they called him young. Like, he's in his 20s, is he?
Yeah. He's been with Voices of Wrestling for donkey's years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he started with Joe Lanza's feet. Yeah. That's gross in itself if you think about it. Kidding, Joe. Kidding. I don't want to wash anybody's feet. But yeah, I'm sure that's a really good piece. I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure that is top-notch. Top-notch. But yeah, look into the Gran Hamada. Very good stuff.
Great. Anything else you'd like to discuss before we wrap it up here on a truly chaotic episode of Super J-Cast?
Just I want to let you know personally that I am, we're planning the trip tonight. So just, FYI, it's happening.
Fuck yeah. The London trip. Okay.
Yeah.
But you meant the other trip, but yeah.
Well, I mean, we got to figure out that one. I mean, let's put it this way. When we talk about trips, we're talking about London and then, but always Tokyo is in the mix. It's just, truth be told.
No, you need to come to the UK so then we can meet. And then when we meet, then we plan the Tokyo trip.
That is correct. We're on the same page. On the same fucking page.
We're all going to be sharing a room, a little room in the Apple Business Hotel.
I know. I can't do that. I will not be in attendance for that. I will not be in attendance for that. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Later. Fucking later.
Bye.
Hello. Do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.